You've heard the word of the Lord from our first lesson, Ezekiel chapter 2, especially those words, whether they listen or do not listen. We fix our eyes on Jesus, even through our tears. We pray. Comfort those who weep and mourn. Let the joy of hope return. Those who are cast down, lift up. Make them strong in faith and hope. Amen. Your fellow redeemed disciples of our Lord, growing and going wherever the Lord sends you. The Lord's prophet Ezekiel is told to stand up. The reason he wasn't standing is because of what happens in Ezekiel chapter 1. He gets a vision of what angels really look like. None of these little fat cherubs with wings and all that stuff like the artists like to show. These cherubim in chapter 1 and then again in Ezekiel chapter 10 are really strange. You can read it for yourself. He's in the glory of God. He falls down on his face because it's a whole lot easier to be on your face before the glory of God when in his holiness we feel our sin. So he said to me, God said to me, this glory of the Lord spoke, Son of man, stand up on your feet and I will speak with you. Note this, the Spirit entered into me as he spoke to me and brought me up to my feet. Then I heard him speaking to me. The Spirit gave him strength to stand up. That's the only way we can possibly have powerful standing with God or powerful standing in a world that does not want to hear that every human being is a wretched sinner, desperately in need of help, and that the help comes from God alone, through his only begotten Son from all eternity. Beautiful message. We love it. But that's because you've knelt at the cross. And the prophets kept on telling God's people down through the ages in the faithfulness of God, a Savior is coming, a Savior is coming, he's coming. And no one knew that that Savior would be God's own Son. And the only way to save the world of sinners was for that Son to shed the holy blood that would wash all sin away. Even the angels didn't know. I think it's in one of Peter's letters, he says, even angels long to look into these things. So he's feeling his weakness. The Lord God says, stand up. He's got some preaching to do. Some proclaiming, whether they listen or not. Last Sunday evening, received an email through the district from a pastor who was a few years behind me, Pastor Phil Henslin, now the Wells Executive Director of Institutional Ministries. Some of you also saw this. He said, whenever we preach also to ourselves. But today was exceptional. My text was Lamentations 3. My theme, faith in darkness. So last week's first lesson from Lamentations was his text last Sunday. And he got this message. He said, this morning, I woke up to the news of more death in my family. There was a fire. And 6 loved ones died. Speaking from the viewpoint of Hannah, my daughter-in-law, the same lady who lost a 12-year-old son, lost overnight her 2 daughters, 2 sisters, her father, and a niece. This touched most any of our pastors and teachers over recent years. Because these daughters who were lost were in school when my own daughters were in school. And the father mentioned here was a college roommate of mine. And his wife, Mary, his widow, Mary Serwee at the time, was in college when my wife was in college. It hits home. Vacation. Steve was home on furlough. He had been at Asia Lutheran Seminary. I had received a call there in 2010, returned that call, convinced the Lord wanted me to stay here. You are on do not disturb, so do not disturb. I won't mention the name because out of respect. But my brother-in-law took the call, Dr. Glenn Thompson, and when I got to go to China on the third trip in 2012, stopped in Hong Kong at the seminary, Asia Lutheran Seminary. By then, Steve Witte was the president. And it was so wonderful to connect with him again. Busy ministries. I don't think we had seen each other probably at least once or twice since graduation. But the seminary was up and running. There were 60 translators from all over Asia, all different languages, but English as a second language. And Dr. Ernie Wendland came from Africa to teach these translators about linguistics and translation, how to get these Wisconsin Synod doctrinal books into their heart language. And then as a test, I didn't know about this before then, but they would translate back from whatever language they translated into, back into the English, to see if the second English matched the first English. That's how difficult translation can be. And publishing even worse. I don't know if you're aware of one English Bible published back about the time of the King James, a little bit before that. It was called the Adulterer's Bible. You ever hear about that? It's because in the Sixth Commandment, the way that Bible was written, it said, just one word missing. You shall commit adultery. That Bible didn't last long. Everybody knew. But it's not always so easy to figure that out. And these translators were basically begging the message to go back to Wisconsin Synod writers, please write simple sentences, not these complicated subclauses and all this that it, our German heritage, I think, coming through. Simple sentences, please. But it was wonderful to see how the Lord God was blessing that work there. And it went on. Until once again, the Chinese communists declared the country a religion-free zone. And by then, the 100-year-old mandate of the British Empire in Hong Kong had run out, and there was no religious freedom to speak of anymore there or on the mainland. They couldn't stay, couldn't keep running that mission. And so, again, Christians scattered. Most of our missionaries there in Hong Kong went to Thailand and other places, and that's where Steve Witte went for a few years. He was a year away from retirement, came home on furlough, spent this summer, these weeks with family, and he ran back inside. The fire started in that cabin. He'd been a lifeguard, instinct. Granddaughter's still in there. Get him out. He and the two granddaughters there and others too, home in heaven, Pastor Steve Witte, Lydia Witte, his daughter of Steve and Mary, and sister to Hannah, Karis Keel, wife of Pastor Steve Keel, and also daughter of Steve and Mary Witte, and sister to Hannah, Stella Keel, youngest daughter of Pastor Steve Keel, Lena Henselin, Carl and Hannah's daughter, Mercy Henselin, Carl and Hannah's youngest daughter, lost to us for walking with Jesus in glory. It's really strange how grief touches us so individually. Depending on how you knew people or your experiences with them, as I went online and I looked at the obituary picture of my former college roommate, I was reminded that his left eye aims where my left eye aims. It's up and out. I forgot that, even though we talked about it sophomore year in college. And the suit that he was wearing, I looked at it and thought, it's one of three surviving suits in my closet. I wore it today in honor of Steve. There it is. But what was really strange was yesterday morning waking up. You know, in the waking moments of this half-subconscious, I'm imagining myself in that cabin with the family, all there and happy, and I'm setting the table for their breakfast. That's my job growing up. See, they're still alive. They're with God in heaven. This is not just some memory that we carry with us. It's real. And it's the only thing we can find comfort in at times like this. When Ezekiel is writing in exile, Jeremiah is back in Jerusalem.
Ezekiel has been deported by the Babylonians, and so was Daniel and his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. There have been these terrible tragedies in families. Murderous, cruel Babylonian soldiers just wreaking havoc on these Jews that they just couldn't bring under their power. And they thought that their city and their temple would never be destroyed. But the prophets kept warning them. Jeremiah in particular warned them, Isaiah 100 years before, that the Lord would destroy his city. Moses said that in 1500 BC. They were warned over and over again and yet did not take the Lord seriously. And it was law. And it was the hammer of the law that we were basically hearing last week in that Lamentations reading, because in those chapters, I think there's five chapters in Lamentations, you've got the prophet, the weeping prophet Jeremiah back in Jerusalem walking around in the rubble, probably still smoldering and corpses everywhere. It's called Lamentations because he's weeping. And then in the middle, where the Hebrews like to have the climax, like a mountain. Those verses from Lamentations chapter 3, 21 to 26, we read those last week. Nevertheless, I keep this in my heart. This is the reason I have hope. By the mercies of the Lord, we are not consumed, for his compassions do not fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. My soul says, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good to hope quietly for the salvation of the Lord. And he is still our hope, because God is still faithful. And he warned him. He said to me, Son of man. Somebody asked me recently, why isn't that capitalized in this translation? It wasn't actually used in Ezekiel as referring to Jesus. That will come first in Daniel, but even there it's not a term for the Messiah yet. But Jesus referred to himself more often as the Son of Man than he did as the Son of God, because he wanted to relate with people. You know, people hear about tragedies like that vacation house fire, and why? Does anybody ever stop to think how many vacations happen without loss of life? Without? We just expect that. We want to ask why. Job's three friends wanted to answer. Must have been because of some sin. Jesus' disciples with the man born blind. Who sinned, this man or his parents? And Jesus said, no one. This was for the glory of God. And you just cringe. For the glory of God. Such tears. Such heartache. Son of man,
is reminding Ezekiel that he is a son of Adam, going all the way back in dust and ashes to the very beginning. His status as a priest is not going to help him in the presence of Holy God. It will not grant him success or salvation. Son of man, over and over again, the Lord calls Ezekiel, I am sending you to the people of Israel, to disloyal nations who have been disloyal to me. They and their fathers have rebelled against me to this very day. These children of mine are brazen-faced and hard-hearted. I am sending you to them, and you are to tell them that this is what the Lord God says. Then whether they listen or do not listen, for they are a rebellious house, then they will know that a prophet has been among them. There's a question, why? You want to ask why? Ask why does God keep on sending prophets and preachers and lay members into resistance and rejection? Why? You know that the Lord in His mercy, as He creates families, He could have put all Christians in one big happy family here on earth so that we could enjoy our heaven and earth. Ooh. And then who would ever want to go home to heaven with God? That's how we're wired. He could do it, but He scatters us. So as you share in our fellowship time after worship and every other opportunity you get, you start hearing about the pain in families, the rejection. And the Lord knows exactly what He's doing. He kept on doing it over and over and over again. And Ezekiel in particular, the first half of Ezekiel in the prophecy is all about the city of Jerusalem. The temple will be destroyed. And the second half is afterwards, that they would have hope in the restoration of the land, hope in the Lord God, their Savior. But you're hearing echoes, I hope, of Jesus when He looked on at Jerusalem, and He knew, God knew this centuries earlier, that Jesus was going to say this. Remember, God dwells in the eternal present. So centuries earlier in Ezekiel's time, the Lord could hear Jesus saying, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those sent to her. How often I have wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. And there are Christian parents who say, what more could I have done? Just as the Lord God says, what more could I have done for my son Israel? Maybe there wasn't anything more you could do. Because you can't believe for your children. You can sow the seeds. You can praise the Lord in the way those seeds grow. But ultimately, it's one soul at a time with God. And repent means every single soul, everyone. And your Aunt Tildy's faith won't save you, as my granddad liked to say. Trust in the Lord. He says, look, your house is left to you desolate, Jesus said. I tell you, you will not see me until the time comes when you will say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. I can answer the question why with one word. Why did God keep sending the prophets? Same word for why parents and grandparents would give up life itself, even to save little ones in this life. You know the word. And he had to put it in that gospel in a nutshell, that favorite passage in the Bible, because it says something to every single soul. God loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. And the Lord God keeps sending and sending and sending his prophets, his people, with this message of hope in the Lord so that they too can turn and be saved. Jesus' brother Judas, called in the reading as Jude in the New Testament epistle in verse 23. He says, snatch others from the flames and save them. And if the Lord can do that from the eternal flames of hell by the gospel of Jesus Christ, for everyone who believes in him will not perish, he also snatches souls from earthly fires and takes them safely home to heaven. And even still, those flames cannot touch you. They cannot touch your soul. Safe home at last with Jesus, walking with him in glory. That's what he's talking about after the powerful standing in the gospel of Ezekiel and the purposeful sending. There's a reason for it, and the reason is love, again and again and again. So I don't know if you've heard, district convention, we got to sit with Larry Schlomer the Younger and ask questions about missions. And something I had not realized, that when the communists were closing down Christian seminaries and scattering Christians, it's the same thing that happened with the scattering after the persecution and martyrdom of Stephen. When Saul was guarding the cloaks, robes of those who were stoning Stephen before he became Paul, the great missionary of the Gentiles, the Christians scattered. Are you aware of the fact that the very first Christian missionaries were not the apostles? They were the lay people that scattered. Some went to Cyprus and some went to Antioch in Syria. And first they were telling the Jews because that's what God wanted them to do. And then they started to tell the good news to the non-Jews, the gospel to the Gentiles. As the Lord had been doing through the prophets all along, this should have come as no surprise to God's people. And it was the lay people in Antioch that said, hey, we need help here. Send us a pastor. So Barnabas was sent, and he needed help. So he got a vicar. By that time, Saul converted, was back home in Tarsus. Barnabas brought him. That was basically Paul's vicar time spent with, that's practice preaching, spent with Barnabas in Antioch. This is what happens again and again. So what's happening now? See, when he was president at the seminary in Hong Kong, my brother and friend was entrusting things to faithful men who would be able to teach others. He was enduring hardships as a soldier, a good soldier, competing as an athlete, obeying the rules, and a hardworking farmer, getting ready for the harvest, which will happen in completion on the last day. He was suffering in his own way, as all do, families in particular. But none of us typically, like the Apostle Paul writing to Timothy, he says he's being chained like a criminal. You heard that before. But this, here's the hope. The Word of God is not chained. The Christians in China liked to say that the harder the government tries to put Christianity down, the more it spreads. So they thought they put it down hard when they said no more religion here. Guess what? About a third of our fellowship Christians in Hong Kong have left. And they're apparently more welcome than Americans are by the British government, who is still feeling the sting of those colonies who fought a revolution to get out of the Commonwealth. I was surprised to hear this. Getting one of our missionaries from America into London was actually quite a challenge. But the Chinese are being invited from what was a British protectorate in Hong Kong anywhere in the Commonwealth. Some have gone to London. They're the ones that are saying, send us a missionary. Some have gone to Australia, part of the Commonwealth. You know what they're saying? Send us missionaries. They have to teach our pastors how to preach. All those Commonwealth countries, I think there's 56 of them, if I saw it clearly today, have a welcome mat out for all these Chinese who heard the gospel, some of them as the first ones in their family. and would not rest. Whether rejected or resented, they would not rest until through every possible means they would share it with their families. Years past, you heard me talking about our deaconess in 316 now, Ting Wong, one of 10. I remember when she talked about being the only Christian. And I remember when the 10th one became a Christian and how happy she was. Don't take it for granted. Whether they like or like it not, whether they listen or not, the Lord sends His people out to do fearless witnessing. And He is the one who stands us up with the gospel. He is the one who makes us fearless. It is really in Christ alone. You may have opportunity, as both Phil and Steve have, and their families, well known for kindness and caring and mercy. Whatever opportunity, point them to the hope of Jesus. And pray for those who will speak up if you're ever in that situation too. The written word is wonderful, but God has a monopoly on the Holy Scriptures. The spoken word, that's yours and mine. Preach you the word and plant it home, whether they listen or not. All to the glory of Jesus and all for the hope of heaven. Amen. Please.